I'm Tommy Gimler. Executives at Fox are banking that people are actually going to huddle around their TVs to watch their latest effort pitch, which is, of course, the story of MLB's first female player, even though that hasn't happened yet. So, Fox, good luck with that. We'll set the over-under at 2.5 episodes.
I've actually seen this before when it was a movie, Tommy, and it was about a 10-year-old boy, and it was called Rookie of the Year.
There is no crying in baseball.
The Daily Updecker, nothing but sports and crap.
Hey, all right, guys. Great to have you here, T-Sean. It's nice. It's like your second show in 3 weeks. Almost back to regular status.
I like good status. Gold status. Thank you.
And it's your birthday. So happy birthday, buddy. Great to have you here. We're going to take it easy on you then. We're not going to ride you as hard as we normally do. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Who are you again?
Oh, my name's Kinner. Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Kinner.
Yeah, we met before.
Kinner Shaw. The state gives us a small grant if we bring an Indian kid onto the show. Plus, it's a huge population over there, so we're trying to break into a new market. So I said, screw it, why not? Let's get Kinner Shaw in here.
That's smart money.
What better ethnicity to talk about professional sports?
Right?
Or even amateur ones at that.
Well, there is a Disney movie about some Indian pitchers.
That's right, and they're still pitching. Their sequel is about them in the AA, but they're there.
On their way down.
They're still there. Still playing.
Don Draper from Mad Men is the guy that finds them.
The Hot Mess.
It is technically the NBA offseason while the NBA playoffs are in effect. And part of the reason behind that might be the fact that it's been 1 month since the NBA playoffs first started, and
right,
we're just now getting to the finals. Not the NBA finals, the conference finals. It's 1 month after the NBA has started. The Cleveland Cavaliers have played 4 games in the last 23 days. Or tonight's win against the Raptors would have been their 5th game in 23 days, I think. That is outrageous.
That is crazy.
Can you give me a bigger word than that, T-Sean? Go back to your Syracuse education, your upbringing in Montreal. Give me a better word for outrageous.
Scrumtralescent.
Yeah, it's scrumtralescent.
Fact check? We need a fact check.
We'll get Rakesh on that one.
How about the fact that this year's playoffs, there were more Canadian teams in the NBA playoffs than there were in the NHL playoffs?
Get out of here. There were no Canadian teams?
I don't think so.
Wow.
There were also
You counting the Memphis Grizzlies as the Vancouver Grizzlies? Because they moved.
They moved, yes.
Yeah, no, there are actually 2 Canadians in TNT's presentation of the Dunk King competition, and they fared extremely well.
Really?
More to come next week, but it was kind of amazing. It was a crazy show. They actually dragged out, you know, Charles, Shaq, and Kenny as like the judges and MCs of this Dunk King competition. Dudes were good, on the edge of my seat. Anyway,
it sounds like the And One tour just got a little more commercialized.
I hear that and I think And One tour. I think it's where they actually do it was in the same stadium that they do like Top Chef Masters or something like that. Like they cleared out all the kitchen shit and they put up a hoop, and it was the same kind of arena style. Yeah, it was interesting.
Kinner, when you were up in Seattle, did you see any And Ones on the street?
I did not see any And Ones on the street. You know, they moved to Oklahoma City, so.
Well,
yeah,
right.
They're not there anymore.
I'm saying the basketball shoes And One. I mean, they used to have a show on ESPN. It was the ESPN2, I think. It was the And One Tour.
The mixtape, remember? The And One mixtape, it was called.
The And One mixtape. Yeah. It's crazy. I wonder if people are still getting shot over And Ones.
What about the LA Gear Tour?
Remember, guys, it's not
what about
worth
the Converse
it.
React Juice Tour.
Yeah, it's not Grand worth Mama. Shooting people over shoes or gear. Remember, guys and girls, it's just a friendly service announcement here from the Daily Upper Decker. They're now selling starter jackets in Walmart.
Pullovers, though. Correct. It's all about the pullover.
All right, so we're talking about the NBA offseason while the playoffs are going on. It was the NBA draft lottery tonight. So they didn't do any draft picks. They just determined the draft order, which, you know, going back to the Patrick Ewing, I think it was the 1985 NBA draft lottery with the bent corner on the envelope. This thing is as rigged as it can possibly get.
Yeah.
And just when you thought it couldn't get any more rigged, they said, you know what? We're going to take it behind closed doors so no one can see the envelopes anymore, right? So we can make it even more rigged. Then what happens? Derrick Rose gets selected number one overall by the Chicago Bulls when they had one ping pong ball in there. They wanted to make basketball unbelievable in Orlando. they miraculously got the number one pick 2 years in a row, even though they only had like one or two ping pong balls in the second time, you know? So this time around, just adding more fuel to the flames, Dikembe Mutombo, about 3.5 hours before the Philadelphia 76ers were announced as the team that got the number one pick, congratulated the Philadelphia 76ers on getting the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft, a full 3.5 hours before it came out. So I love a conspiracy theory more than anybody.
It is true.
I even love the movie Conspiracy Theory.
More than anybody, though?
Well, not more than anybody or more than any other movie. Okay. I'm an Idiocracy fan myself. Right. But, you know, I love a conspiracy theory, and I think that this just adds to it. Because one of my buddies, actually Adam Ferberg from last week, was asking, he's like, do you think it's just Dikembe Mutombo being stupid, or do you think it's a fix? And I'm like, I don't think Dikembe Mutombo's stupid.
Well.
And that's two big things. He was at that bombing in the Belgium airport.
Yeah.
He was there.
That's right.
And now, rescued him from there. Weird set of circumstances there.
So, Kinner, do you have anything to say on this? And if you do, you have to give me your best Dikembe Mutombo impression.
Well, he went to Georgetown, so he's smart, but you know, probably he went for academics. I don't know. I don't remember.
He was a walk-on.
He was a walk-on. That's what I heard.
Went to Georgetown to get his marketing degree.
Maybe he was confused. Maybe he thought,
"Oh, to the Philadelphia 76ers on getting a number one pick."
He's not Yoda.
He's a cross between Grover and Yoda, I think. Grover and Yoda. He is.
That's the.
I was in the airport when.
So you might be the only guy that said, "Hey, Dikembe Mutombo isn't saying stupid things anymore."
Well, here's another thing too. He deleted the tweet.
Well, he was told to.
Oops. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm defending him.
Yeah, it's like you went to LMU. You have no ties to Georgetown.
It's a different segment in the show. We're getting really ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to fuck the mighty Mutombo?
No, I think.
That's a true story.
That's a true story.
I just think it'd be very funny if he didn't even know that the NBA had a lottery system and thought, oh, they're the worst team. So, of course, they're going to pick first.
Well, of
and
course,
he just went off that.
Of course, it's a possibility, right? Of course, and
because it's him.
Yeah. Well, then again, you said he went to Georgetown. That is an esteemed, you know, institution of higher learning, right there. That's not the UW Stevens Point. Where
just
pretty
ask
much
Allen
anybody
Iverson.
Did he really go to Georgetown?
His name was the answer. So I mean, that shows.
No way, Allen Iverson went to Georgetown.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow! I totally dropped the ball on that.
2 years.
Get out of town. Yeah.
Here's a little trivia for you. Had a pal who went to Georgetown, too. Because of Iverson, he told me, the school had to put in a rule that athletes had to live on campus all 4 years.
All because of Allen Iverson?
All because of Iverson.
Why? What was his deal?
And it was off-season antics. Yeah.
Well, there was a whole...
Off-campus antics, right.
There was a 30 for 30 done on him because he was arrested in some...
It's good.
Actually, HBO did one as well. Like, it's nearly the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's just called Iverson, right? That one? Yeah, I think that's the one I saw.
HBO is all about that. Yeah. HBO is all about airing the same thing. Like, you know, George Lopez does a stand-up set, and then Carlos Mencia copies it word for word pretty much, and HBO's like, I'll air that. That's great. Thanks.
And it's on TNT 2 weeks later.
All right, guys. So before we move on from the NBA, because I really don't even think we should start talking about it until the finals are here, like the real NBA finals, not the conference finals. The OKC Thunder shocked the world yesterday, upset the Golden State Warriors. They now have a 1-0 lead. Do you think they actually have a shot at going to the NBA Finals, or is this just a...
I do. I predicted it.
Really?
Yes.
With dollars?
When?
Now it's too late.
Last night?
Slow.
This morning when I was looking at the rundown of the Daily Upper Decker?
It was like 1:10 a.m., and I was looking at it. I'm like, I got it on TiVo. I bet I can... No, I predict. I actually think OKC will actually go to the finals. I actually thought that what are they called? The Warriors. The Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors.
I thought they were going to lose earlier in the playoffs. Truthfully, I thought they burnt. I truly believed they were burnt out from making the chase for 73.
And after Steph Curry went down,
and of course with Steph going down, I'm like, I am totally going to be right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you know they survived that, but. I actually think if they had played Utah in the first round, I think they would have had a much tougher time, and especially with him going down, course, that may not have happened given that set of circumstances, but I liked Utah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think they're going
to hear that sentence
this
often.
Time.
That's why you listen to the Daily Upper Decker. You listen for the things you're not necessarily going to hear on the four letter on ESPN yeah. or Fox Sports. You only hear will you hear one of our ESPN NBA experts or not our ESPN, just our one of our NBA experts say that he based his entire betting scenario in the NBA playoffs based solely on the fact that he thought Utah was going to make the NBA postseason.
I mean, what I did do is I did take Golden State and total losses under 5.5, which to me meant they were going to lose in the first two series.
Ah, right. Well, yeah, I think so far you're looking good because to me, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of that fight in Dazed and Confused where there was the asshole Clint. And then there was the dork, and he walked by, and he's like, wow, somebody's smoking some marijuana. And he's like, what'd you say? Hey, look, I came here to do two things tonight, drink some beer and kick some ass. It looks like we're almost out of beer. It reminds me of the fight where he comes back and he punches Clint, right? Yeah. So this is Oklahoma City's win.
Mob mentality.
Yeah, he thinks like, you know what? I'm going to punch him right here, and everyone's going to come in and like break it up, right?
And everyone just cheered it on.
And everyone just sat there, and he got the crap kicked out of him. So that's what I think is going to happen here. They got the one. They got the first punch in, but Clint and the Golden State Warriors are going to turn around and beat the tar out of the Thunder from here.
Here's why I really think, everyone's so obsessed with diagnosing the fact that no one can keep up with Golden State, right? Like, everyone has to go small to keep up with them. And, they left their big, stiff white guys in, and they dominated. They were more energetic. They got more rebounds. They were rougher, and that paid off. Kevin Durant played terrible for all intents and purposes, right? And Westbrook was not very good in the first half. So their main scores were not even productive, and
Westbrook had a hell of a third quarter.
He blew up in the third quarter, of course. But their aggressiveness, and that's part of his game. Obviously, he's a total whirling dervish out there. And I don't think Golden State was really ready for that.
We're going to check on Whirlin' Dervish. Is that acceptable in 2016, Whirlin' Dervish? Because I'll tell you what's not acceptable in 2016, Quick Little Monkeys, when you're using it to describe the Golden State backcourt, which is exactly what Steven Adams of the OKC Thunder did. Did you hear that? It didn't work out too well for Howard Cassell in 1983, but I think from what I've read and what I've seen today on a lot of the talk shows is that he's going to get a pass for saying it because he's from New Zealand. And his explanation was, I'm still trying to learn the culture over here. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. He didn't mean to say it in a derogatory way. Still,
he's also a very tall mustachioed samurai. So you don't really want to fuck with him.
Correct.
I guess I could buy that.
I agree. However... However,
that's pretty crazy.
I don't think any of this matters, though, by the way. I think we're wasting a lot of time talking about the West when all I want is the Cavs to win it all. And they will, because that will be the best 30 for 30 we could ever hope for in our lifetime.
That Cleveland wins a championship and heroin overdoses
just
go down.
The first
for one
hour
year.
Will be about all LeBron. The last half will be about the city and what it means to them. Oh, it'll be so good.
So, so the 30 for 30 will come out in, 2019, and they'll show, the heroin overdose graph, and it'll just be, steadily increasing, and then all of a sudden just totally shoot down in 2016, and then all of a sudden back up, unless he wins another one, and then back down.
It's a good trend.
Yeah, it's great. I like it. I like where your head's at. Anything else you want to talk about the NBA playoffs? I'll take that as moving on here in the hot mess. All right. Speaking of playoffs, there are two big reasons to root for the St. Louis Blues to win it all. Boobs, gentlemen. Did you see this girl?
Well, this is, I think, where the what they say about hockey and the speed of the game is so exciting and such a different kind of adventure when you're a fan of the sport. That's where it hurts. The boobs go by way too fast. The game is just whizzing by. You can't see the tits. I have not been able to benefit from this.
Oh, thanks to Vine and this thing called the internet. It's not one of these whistling dervishes. What is it called?
A whistling dervish.
What is this
whistling
thing?
Dervish.
It's a whirling dervish.
A whirling dervish. We got to make an Urban Dictionary entry on that. We got to get Andy Ostroff.
So he doesn't
Captain
he
Fabulous.
Whistles and whirls, or just whirls?
I mean, apparently he's a whistler too.
What is it? A whistling whirling dervish? It's not a whirling dervish. Thanks to the internet, you got Vine, you got still shots. It's crazy. So there is a woman with a a gigantic set of cans, and she sits right behind where the coach always stands on the visitor's bench. So if you go back to Chicago, there's a couple of shots. She's not afraid to show them off either. I have yet to see what's above.
She goes bare titty?
Nah, so not bare titty, but they're hanging out. They're hanging out.
You're telling me she has season tickets?
I don't think she does. I think there's a woman in Milwaukee. Her name is Front Row Amy. And she's probably like a 40-something-year-old woman with just huge cans. And she sits behind home plate, I don't know, like 15 games out of the 81, 15, 16 games. And she talks Brewers all the time. And she's actually like a minor celebrity, all because of her cans.
Wow.
And she's covered them up recently, but, you know, every now and then she still wears a tank top and her boobs are hanging out of the tank top, you know. And that's the same case. That's the same deal that's going on in St. Louis right now. And the internet is like blowing up about it. And she wears different shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, every single time, like, they'll show the coach after like either a weird penalty or a goal scored against him, they'll go to like the visiting team's coach, and right behind him is just a big set of boobs.
Is she ever like cheering with great exuberance? So they're bouncing boobs.
I haven't seen that yet. I've seen the still shots.
Frame for a bit, boom.
To where she jumps up and down. Yeah, I get where you're going with that. The man show did the jumping on trampolines. I get that, but this is just she's sitting
did
there.
You see that on the internet?
I did.
Oh,
on the internet and on the TV.
I'll make a note of that.
So, guys, is this enough for you to watch the NHL playoffs? Because I'll tell you what, no one else
enough
is.
For me. Yeah.
The NHL playoffs, I think we said this. We might not have said this. It lost out a couple weeks ago when Alabama did their spring game. The Alabama spring game had higher ratings than every single NHL playoff game on cable. It was unbelievable.
Oh, it was enough for me to watch it. No, it was enough for me to check her out on YouTube. Yeah, not watch NHL playoffs.
It was enough for me to click
on
a couple of different sites.
My friends would rather watch football OTAs right now.
And that's why we're here. We've got some football talk coming up, I think. Sean, you going to watch the NHL playoffs from here on out? St. Louis Blues.
I will. That was my Mutombo.
I will watch the Blues.
Well, before you go, though, I will say, though, from a dramatic standpoint, I think it is always nice, maybe it hasn't happened before, if one town's professional team wins a championship when their other team leaves and goes back to L.A.
Again, it's that whole heroin overdose.
Consolation.
That whole heroin overdose chart. Because, you know, in St. Louis, the fact that they lost football, like they're going, we've got nothing to live for anymore. Wait a minute, the Blues just won. All right, we've got something to live for.
Well, I don't think the Cleveland hockey team is going to win this year.
It's a bold statement.
That's my
here.
Analysis.
Something you only get here at the Daily Upper Decker. Find us on the internet at dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Daily Upper Deck, and of course on the Vine. Moving on here in the hot mess, guys. The Rangers and Blue Jays had a little brawl, a little brouhaha on Sunday afternoon. Now, a lot of people are calling it one of the greatest MLB fights of all time. Meanwhile, the hockey guys that we just talked about, they're just kind of sitting back like, meh.
Yeah.
Happens every single game.
Yeah.
For us. But the fines and suspensions were handed down today. Rough Odor. His name is actually Rougned Odor, but it can be pronounced Rough Odor in some circles of the country. 8 games. But I'll tell you what, those 8 games, it's worth it, man. He connected.
He should have done more.
You think he should have gotten more?
There's 100 and No. He should have fought more.
Oh, right.
162 games. He's only missing, what, 5% of the season? That is nothing.
Yeah, correct. I mean, and he's going to appeal, and it's probably going to get taken down because I'll tell you what, I can't believe baseball. Now, this was on the front page of USA Today, the brawl. Like, as he's, like, connecting with Jose Bautista's jaw, it was on the front page of USA Today. When was the last time baseball was on the front page of USA Today? Maybe opening day? Maybe a PED piece?
Maybe when Nolan Ryan hit Robin Ventura.
Correct. Yeah, something like
all
that.
All about the Rangers.
Why are you reading so much USA Today? I'm really
is it the online version, or you get it in print?
I go down and get a Coke Zero down at Dale's here on the corner, and I quick grab the USA Today from the stand and read it for 2 hours and then come back. Hey, thanks. It's good Coke Zero. So my point here is, like, why are you you have everybody talking about, like, in baseball, this has been the biggest story for the last 3 days now. You have everybody talking about your sport. People want to see it. You don't want to, like, have a fight every single game because then it loses its luster. But why are you going to, like, suspend that guy now for 8 games? He just brought your sport to the front page of USA Today, the nation's top-selling newspaper.
It's a desperate, desperate sport. So, I mean, and we talked about the shit-ass poor ratings for the NHL playoffs. I mean, I can't imagine anyone watches any kind of fucking baseball on TV.
Nope.
It's like... it's tragic. Yeah, that was a good punch.
It was a great punch.
You know what the thing is? You know, you alluded to the baseball purists, and they just got to fucking take it easy, man. Like, they're getting upset about bat flips, how those are, like, unacceptable, you know, a true travesty of the game, and that is just a crock of shit. You guys got to loosen up, man. Have some fun with your sport, because nobody wants to play it.
Right. Even your best players are saying that it's a tired sport. But look at what that Jose Bautista bat flip has created now. So it was the biggest story at the time. That game was probably one of the top 10 best games of the last 50 years. That game 5, the ALDS, the Blue Jays against the Rangers, when Bautista hit that home run and then stood up there like an asshole and just chucked his bat. You know, that whole bat flip has now culminated to this, and I think it's been great for the sport.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you'll listen to, like, Christopher Mad Dog Russo on MLB Network. You'll listen to Carl Ravitch on Baseball Tonight, and they're like, "Oh, Odor is like an embarrassment to the game." It's not embarrassing. Everybody's talking about it.
God forbid someone should show some passion in that sport.
Right. Well, someone who's not showing passion. Or who at least won't have a shot to show any passion anymore, guys. Freddy Gonzalez, the Atlanta Braves manager, the first managerial casualty of 2016.
Really, already?
Apparently a 9-28 start was not good enough for the Atlanta Braves brass, even though they basically gutted their roster.
Right.
So basically, they asked Freddy Gonzalez to go out and win some games. They wanted him to win a little bit, but not a lot, right? They are in total rebuild mode. They've even come out and they said, "Hey, we're gonna get through this season, and then next year it's our first season in Cobb County. They got a brand new stadium up there. It's gonna be great. Come on up. This year is kind of a lost cause, but apparently they didn't want to be 9-28 bad. And after they lost tonight, it's 9-29 now.
They need those John Hamm kids."
Get those guys in there. Why not?
I mean, get them right out of double.
You might as well. You might as well, like, actually, like, trade for them, bring them up, and just say, "Hey, it's your chance to see the kids from that Disney movie."
It's got to be the worst team for a city that's building a brand new stadium after only like 20 years.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I know.
And then they're building a brand new football stadium too. And that thing's only like 20 or 30 years old. It's crazy.
And San Diego's had the same shit since 1960.
We'll get there. You hold on to that. We'll get there. That's foreshadowing. A little teaser here at the Daily Upper Decker. But here's this is what I want to say about Freddy Gonzalez. So you basically strip his entire roster of talent. He's got absolutely no talent. Bud Norris is his number two starter, and Bud Norris is terrible.
Sounds like a good drinker, though.
Or a racist.
I think he could be.
You could be both.
I think he might be one of those baseball purists we were talking about earlier.
He might be. Because he was upset when John Singleton of the Houston Astros signed a $35 million deal, like a six-year $35 million deal. And John Singleton is now in the minors. And Bud Norris was like mad at him for like kind of like diminishing, you know, the value of an MLB player. And John Singleton was like, "Dude, I'm going to take the money away. You got to give me $35 million guaranteed. I'm going to take it." But anyway, Freddy Gonzalez, you're either on one side of the fence here or the other, because with Freddy Gonzalez, the Braves took away everybody. He's got no talent on that team. They used to have the game's best closer. He's gone. They used to have the game's best defensive shortstop. He's gone. And, you know, basically everybody else who actually knew how to play the game of baseball is gone. So I wrote about it today and I said, like, imagine like taking Lexington Steel and cutting off his 18-inch unit and saying, "Go out and make some great award-winning smut films." Or tell a chef, "Here's a wooden spoon that's been up a homeless man's ass for the last 14 hours. Toss a salad that isn't laced with E. coli. Go out and do that." You're not going to be able to do it. At the same time,
kind of like a chip on the shoulder.
That's some curious examples, but we're with you.
I'm trying to relate it to both of our listeners here. They're both in Wisconsin. They'll know what I'm talking about. So, but at the same time, Freddy Gonzalez, like, 3 years ago, the Braves were 96-66. second best record in the NL, and then they lost in the NLDS to the Dodgers in four games. People forget that. They also had an epic collapse, like an unbelievable collapse in 2014. Last year they were 42-42, and since then they've been 34-81. Wow. 34-81. So anybody who's out there right now saying that Freddy Gonzalez got a raw deal, he did not. This is a long time coming.
Are people really saying that?
They are. People are like, well, what do you want him to do? You took away all of his talent. Well, even when he did have talent, like he didn't.
He wasn't set up to succeed.
Bring home the bacon. All right, last thing I want to talk about here before we get into our dud feature piece. Did you see this, Sean? You're in the movie business, or the entertainment business.
Yeah.
Fox and MLB have teamed up to give us their latest soon-to-be-canceled series called Pitch. Did you see what it's about?
No, I mean, I alluded to, I don't watch real baseball, so watching a television show about baseball seems highly unlikely.
That's really the only way to put it. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Fox, and like, here's, if you thought, like, you know, Joe Buck wouldn't do anything, think again.
No, wow. Well,
Joe Buck is like the announcer's voice here, like of the show.
Right. Well, he sucks at golf. Yeah, I think he's already been fired from the golf from the Fox.
That was a complete failure. So what Fox and MLB did is they teamed up to give us a series this summer, which I'm like I said, I'm going to set the over under at 2.5 episodes. I don't see it going past 2, maybe 3.
Yeah.
They have a young lady coming in who looks like the grown-up version of Monet Davis, who took the Little League World Series by storm in 2014, and they're making her MLB's first female player. And it's basically, like Kinner said, if you've seen Rookie of the Year, if you've seen 42, if you've seen any baseball movie where somebody came in that was different, I think there was a movie about Pete Gray, the dude who only had one arm. It's all the same. Can't sit here. Don't want you here. You're going to be a trivia question. You're nothing here. It's the same exact thing, except instead of being Jackie Robinson, instead of being Pete Gray, instead of being, what's his name, Henry something in Rookie of the Year, what's his name?
That's
Henry
me.
Henry something, I think.
I remember the name of the movie, but remember the name of the
character. I never saw the whole movie. I was just kind of like flipping through and I said, oh, baseball. Oh, wait a minute. 10-year-old kid is pitching? I'm out.
But at least all those examples you just mentioned never lasted more than 90 minutes. Not a 22-episode season.
That's true. Those averaged to 88 minutes.
Or like we said, 2.5.
It'll be interesting to see if this is either one of the 22-minute shows or one of the 43-minute jobs. Hopefully it's 22. If it's 22, I might say that 3.5.
Half-hour multicam?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure when you were just describing this, you weren't really reading the press materials that Fox had supplied.
Yeah, I don't know. Here, I want to show you guys something. This is why I'm not watching.
Media kit. Yeah. Actually, we're going straight off of that.
The old EPK.
I think we should know this is not about gender at all.
Right.
This is
right.
About the quality of the show.
Correct.
I think they may try,
or lack thereof.
They may try and do a crossover with this show and their successful hit Empire, you know, where the Monet Davis character
is not only
an esteemed and proficient baseball hurler, but also crosses over into rap.
Yeah,
it's like the Marvel universe.
Fox, I could see
is
that
like
happening.
Creating, you know, like.
That's interesting. Well, where does it take place?
And then something
what
happens with
Tyler
Perry.
San Diego Padres.
Oh, man. Right. No rap there. If it was the Mets, I was going to say, okay, this could be good.
The Mets.
Mets.
Or she's playing for Detroit. I think they still have a couple of Motown studios
open. So there might
open,
be some,
yeah,
like, TO1 episodes then.
Oh, yeah. Monet crosses
take me
the
out of the game, coach. Yeah. I went to Tijuana last night. I'm not going to make it out with crap in my pants. It's one of those things, though. It's a tired thing. Like they're trying to push something.
It's all the cliche supporting characters.
Right.
It's all the same.
But there is a connection, though. I want to tell you, there is a connection between Rookie of the Year and Pitch coming to Fox. The dad from the Wonder Years plays the manager in Pitch. The narrating voice from the Wonder Years, Daniel Stern, was in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's right.
See?
Oh, there
it's
we go.
Tired. It's tired. They basically looked like, who can we get from every single baseball movie that we've ever done?
So you're saying Daniel Stern is more powerful in Hollywood than we would have thought.
Correct. That guy is loaded.
He's packaging shit.
Don't forget Very Bad Things. Very Bad Things. I'm sure he signed a big upfront deal. Here's another thing that, you know, I know it's not about gender, but, you know, why am I going to read that magazine?
It's funny you bring this up. Today, and you can fact check
so
me on
for,
this.
For, all right, so just for everybody that's, you can't see it because we're doing a podcast. ESPN, the magazine.
Where are the cameras?
Decided that I would want to read a WNBA issue. Like, nobody's watching the WNBA. Does anybody not understand that this is nothing but a tax write-off for these NBA teams, the WNBA? No one's watching on TV. Why is anybody going to sit and read about it?
I agree with you. I think everyone here at this table, all eight of us, agree with you. But today, Draymond Green himself said, in the actual NBA, you'll have guys with these physical attributes that make them so unstoppable. In the WNBA, you don't. He learns fundamentals by watching the WNBA.
Get out of here.
That's what he came out and said. That's where he actually learned about pivoting and dribbling, all this other stuff.
Wow.
And that's what he said. He said he's a WNBA.
That's unbelievable. Well, we found one of the 12 people who watched the WNBA. Let's speculate who the other 11 are.
Well, he's not the fan base. He's not giving it ratings.
Right.
The question they do ask on the cover is, are you ready to watch them play?
I am not. Oh, I have never been. I don't think anybody's ever been ready to watch them play.
If you're an athletic female, there's only one sport you should do in terms of if you're chasing money.
Volleyball.
No.
Beach volleyball.
Tennis.
Yes.
Serena Williams has earned $80 million just from salary alone.
Like without endorsements.
No endorsements. Wow. Just tournament winnings.
Well, they did have a successful run of evening the payouts for the winners back in the 70s with Billie Jean King.
Mm-hmm.
And so
in the fixed match. You know that it's come out now that the second, like when he lost
Bobby Riggs,
the Battle of the Sexes, number two,
Bobby Riggs,
Bobby Riggs. He was in with the mob, like he owed them so much money that he said he'd fix it and lose, and like you know the odds were overwhelming against Billie Jean King, and she won. So if you had money on her, you made out like a bandit or like a mobster.
That's crazy.
That should be a 30 for 30.
That should be.
Speaking of mob, and the crime. And everything that surrounds the mob.
I was hoping we'd go back to boobs, but that's fine.
Well, you know, you can maybe tie it in. Get creative and tie it in because it's time for a dud feature piece.
The dud feature piece.
Gentlemen, dud feature piece.
Is there a new music for this part of the episode? I feel like you need to come up with some.
I'll probably play some piece. NOFX, no effects. Yeah. Something like that.
Or some Onyx.
Yeah. Yes, any band that ends in X will.
Boys.
All right, so Chad from Wisconsin gave us a great idea a few weeks ago, and he wanted us to discuss the worst places to watch a sporting event in America. And I looked at all of us. I'm like, well, we're all well-traveled gentlemen. We've seen our fair share of live sports. So based on your knowledge and experience, let's narrow it down from 6 to 8 crappy places to watch a game to one and only one absolute shithole. All right. Worst places to watch a live sporting event in America. Kinnershaw, get us started. Oakland Coliseum on so many levels.
Oh, man.
So you go ahead, Kinner. You start. Oakland Coliseum.
Where do we start? It's a lot of people don't know this, but the Oakland Coliseum is actually older than the Roman Coliseum.
Did not know that.
A lot of people didn't know that.
That would explain the reason why, like when it rains about 2 inches, you know, the sewage pipes overflow and just the visit. And it always happens to the visiting team's dugout and managerial office and all that. The sewage just seeps up out of the floor and it just covers the visiting baseball teams.
It's kind of a good
locker room.
That's a good point.
But it comes out into the dugout, onto the field.
It's a good point, too. It's also a shared stadium still. Yes. Didn't we move past this? Aren't we the richest country in the world? And teams have to share stadiums
still? We are slipping.
Even in Detroit, they're not sharing stadiums anymore.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
They have a lot of space there. There's a lot of vacated area.
There's a lot of check marks that are coming up.
That's true.
What,
a lot of foreclosures have...
Right,
there's,
there should be cheap land. There should be cheap land to give the Raiders their own stadium and the A's their own stadium.
Now, you know, we get what we deserve, though. do they really need a new stadium in Oakland at the same time? Or will those people just burn it the fuck down?
I mean, you could play that game like in like a muddy field and 50,000 people would show up. It really doesn't matter, I guess, where you're playing. But I'm
saying I will say, as much as I hate Oakland Coliseum, you know, over on San Francisco, things aren't that much better. I was at a Giants game.
You don't like
once.
AT&T Park?
I was at a Giants game. Let me tell you, uh-huh. Giants game once. My Sauvignon Blanc wasn't chilled. And that was just one of the worst. That's one of the worst.
They left it out in the sun, did they?
They did.
That's great. You must have got the last one. The guy walking around with 20 of them, and you got the last one that had been sitting in there for a while.
You had the NorCal woes.
Mm. All right, so Oakland Coliseum, obviously terrible. Like, but it's terrible on all fronts. It's old. It's shared. The people there aren't people you want
to
be around.
I've been to Division II stadiums that have more amenities.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
What about like Dodger Stadium? Have you gone to watch a game at Dodger Stadium?
I have many games. I think, again, the historical aspect plays in there. Dodger Stadium, it's funny. I think people are great during the game, unlike at Yankee Stadium. It's just after the game. I really want to get home.
Especially when they lose. It's like, we will leave in the eighth inning. No
That's
worries.
When it gets dodgy, pun intended.
Good. I'll always share this experience at Dodger Stadium. I think Dodger Stadium, it depends on where you sit. If you sit like with Larry King, there's like a little moat that kind of separates like the priciest seats. And then there's like even if you're anywhere down on that first level, usually you're pretty good. You go out to the bleachers. You go out to the $6 or all you can eat seats in
the
upper bleachers.
Seats.
Yeah. You go up even to the second level, and you're dealing with people who can afford tickets, even though they're not working. And that's not a good place to be. One time I was there with our good friend Dutch McTavish, and I'm there wearing Brewers gear, and Jason Kendall hits a home run. And Jason Kendall had gone like 800 and some at bats without hitting a home run. So we sit up, I'm like, oh my God, Jason Kendall just hit a home run. And we hear, hey. We turn around, there's just like all these tatted up Mexican gangsters, and they're like, sit down, bro, no cheering. And you're like, all I'm doing is clapping, right? So they go away later on and something else happens.
Passionate fan base.
Cheer. Yeah. I get up and cheer, and they were coming back from the bathroom, all of them. Hey, what did I say? Sit down, bro, no cheering. And you're like, is it worth it? Is it worth standing up and cheering for the team that you grew up watching?
It's not.
It's yeah.
It's not at the end of the day. Yeah. When you see what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, Dodger Stadium is always going to be up on that list. Now,
I bet a lot of cities have that same issue. Detroit, Cleveland, the list goes on.
Actually, I love the city of Cleveland. And you watch a game of Progressive Field, that was one of the first. It might have been the first. It was either that or Sky Dome up in Toronto. That was like the first of the new stadiums. And if you go in there, it's 20-something years old now. Probably pushing like almost 30. And it still looks brand new. Progressive Field is a great place to watch a game. The people are actually very civilized. Trying to find a cheap ticket on the way into the game and having those discussions, not as civilized. But once you're in, it's a great experience. So I think you could take Cleveland off. If you've gone to Detroit, Comerica's a great park. Ford Field, state-of-the-art, facility. Yeah. They've had a Super Bowl there. Tropicana Field down in Tampa, not so much. That's been a dump since like the day it was created. And they tried to lure the Giants from San Francisco down the Tropicana Field in Tampa. Just an absolute dump. Where the Dolphins are playing in Miami, Sun Life Stadium or Sun Life Systems Stadium. Garbage.
There's a reason why no one goes
out to those games. It's awful.
Yeah.
What else?
There's actually the LA Coliseum is no gem anymore.
I suppose that now houses an NFL team.
Yeah, well, that's what's
fun. Yeah.
I guess I didn't mind so much because it was only college for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Now it's NFL again, so that's yeah.
No, it's it said no. Like they cut off drinking early. Yeah. They have all sorts of terrible. No, actually the co-eds are great. no, but it's not a stadium that's incredible. I mean, they used it in the 1984 Olympics. I mean, that's as fresh as it got.
And I think that's a sign right there. Has any stadium that's been created for the Olympics ever been worthy I mean,
that's true. It's put up.
Didn't they build the Georgia Dome for the Olympics? And now they're already getting a new stadium?
I think they built the Bray where they
Turner Field they built for it. And they're already building a new stadium because they're like, this is not sufficient.
Yeah.
So it's not like they put everything they can into these stadiums.
Rush order.
Well, I think, the stadium that was built in Sochi for the Winter Olympics is no longer standing. And they didn't even like bring in teams to demolish it. It just fell on its own.
It's hard to find a good contractor in Sochi, though.
One that uses every single nail. all right, so we've got the Oakland Coliseum, Dodger Stadium, Qualcomm.
Qualcomm's up
down
there.
Down in San Diego.
That's at least the same age as the LA Coliseum, I would imagine.
They all look like the same stadium,
They all
too.
Look like
just
the exact same, like
big
one
circular
architect.
Oval, yeah. Yeah.
That one era.
You can only enter from like one one gate.
Right. And it seems like, you know, every single time you see a fight on YouTube, like, you know, especially once the NFL season starts.
Yeah.
You know, when the Cowboys went to Qualcomm and was like, look at this Cowboys-Chargers fight down in the Qualcomm parking lot. When the Raiders are there, look at the Raiders-Chargers fight down in Qualcomm.
Like
it's always in the Qualcomm
game.
Parking lot.
Qualcomm is in San Diego, though.
Yeah.
Which trumps just many cities based on beauty. Many of Cleveland, Detroit, you know, many we've
that
talked about
true.
In the Rust Belt of
natural
America.
Beauty. That's true.
All right, so at the top of your head, next 30 seconds, anything that is worse than Qualcomm or Oakland?
I mean, can we throw in some tennis courts, maybe?
And like, would you even like buy a product from Qualcomm, knowing that they put their name on that stadium? Like, I mean, the naming rights can't be any more than $25 at this point.
I think they just couldn't afford to take the name off the stadium, so they just
leave
just getting
it.
The benefit of it. They're like, eh.
Full disclosure: I don't even know what Qualcomm makes.
I'm going to guess it's not ice cream. I think that's it.
Or stadiums.
That's like the Cliff Clavin. Yeah.
Yep.
That's like the Cliff Clavin answer on Jeopardy. Who are three guys who never been in my kitchen? They don't make ice cream. Judges.
See, it's interesting. We've now picked on a lot of like West Coast stadiums. I feel like we must be leaving some out. Or are the West Coast ones?
Yeah, I live here too long. Yeah.
Because of the our gracious weather, it doesn't feel as imperative. Like the wear and tear on the stadium is not as egregious. So we just let them ride, kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, I think maybe in other parts of the country, like updating your stadium and making sure that you're actually playing in like a great stadium is of importance. Maybe because the people of San Diego, football and maybe that stadium, it's really not important to them. In Oakland, maybe that stadium isn't as important to them because there's so many more people. In Green Bay, that stadium is everything.
Excuse me,
Ashwaubenon, it's everything. So it's like they're going to put dollars into that stadium and consistently, you know, make it better.
Could be there's also more to do for most folks. Like,
yeah,
right.
Whereas it's not just the team is
correct.
Important, right?
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, that's
yeah.
That's certainly one way to look at it. We have a lot of activities here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're summer all year.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Well, with that being said, the Oakland Coliseum, the worst place
Oakland
to watch
Coliseum,
a sporting
place.
Event in America.
I do fear that place.
A lot of criminals. A lot of criminals up in Oakland.
As a Bronco fan,
I
would be frightened to go there in my gear.
Yeah, I wonder if they have like a website where you can check to see if anyone in your section is like on
kind of like.
Does anybody in your section have a felony?
What was the site you were on earlier?
FamilyWatchdog.us.
Yeah. ColiseumWatchdog.ca.
Yeah. Good foreshadowing again. That's why you're here, Kenner. You're doing a great job foreshadowing into future segments.
I love that you see the future.
And speaking of criminals, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everybody's favorite segment here on the Daily Upper Decker. It's time for The Pile.
The Pile.
Judge the Fabulous T-Sean is in the house. We have a new attorney representing all of our perps, I should say, this week. All of our perps. We have a new attorney at law, Kenner Shaw, attorney at law. God, it's such an easy, like...
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Rolls.
Yeah.
Commercial tagline.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Kenner Shaw, attorney at law. Call Kenner Shaw, an attorney at law. Get busted with deadly weapons in the back of your car. Call attorney at law, Kenner Shaw.
Okay, you won the job. You can do my commercial.
All right, good. Thanks, buddy.
Still would work on the jingle.
So, Kenner, this is the way, this is the way it works. I'm going to read off an athlete who got arrested, and like I say every single week, there's no shortage, even in the off season, of athletes getting arrested. I should even say in season, off season, it doesn't matter. Green jacket, gold jacket, who gives a shit? These guys are getting arrested. We've narrowed it down to a couple. The first one up, Cam Robinson. I'm going to tell you what Cam Robinson did, the left tackle at Alabama, who I think has become like the 200th football player at Alabama to get arrested since 1995. Cam Robinson, I'm going to tell you what he did. You try and defend your client. The fabulous T-Shawn will rule on it. Here we go. All right. The pile. Cam Robinson, Alabama left tackle arrested and charged with possession of a controlled substance, illegal possession of a firearm, and possession of a stolen gun. Meanwhile, in the back seat, teammate Lawrence Hootie Jones was also arrested on possession of a controlled substance and illegal carrying of a weapon.
It's all bullshit. It's all trumped up. It's okay.
First of all, was he arrested in Auburn?
Well, let's look at these charges. No one can even tell me what a controlled substance is. All right? So let's just move on that. All right. Illegal possession of a firearm and possession of a stolen gun. Did someone just like go to thesaurus.com and try to give him two charges for one?
Yeah, I think
it's the same thing.
I think they're reaching. It's like when you're at a Sugarland concert and like the scaffolding falls down on you. You sue Sugarland, the state of Indiana, God, you know, everybody associated. Like,
I think he had a gun. It was borrowed, and this controlled substance was probably gunpowder. and Hootie, again, illegal carrying of a weapon. So there's illegal possession of a firearm. You could possess a stolen gun, but then you could have a weapon. May not be a gun, but it's not possession. It's just carrying. I don't get it. Then again, the fact that I think that Alabama could have a buttoned-up court system. I don't know why I thought that to begin with, too. So, anyway, these boys are young, good boys. They're going to get their degrees. They're going to go on. They're going to do great things.
Your Honor, it's also worth noting that Cam Robinson is an all-SEC left tackle, obviously starting. Hootie Jones, backup defensive back.
Right, but Hootie, of course, is much more known for his music. So I think there's a lot of confusion. You know,
is that why he's called a Hootie? You think he was conceived at a Hootie and a Blowfish concert in Tuscaloosa?
I only want to be with you.
That was it.
and so he's made a lot of – I'm perplexed why he could only – these guys could only afford you based on all the riches they earned playing music. Plus, of course, Hootie is now a country star. Perplexing to me, but that's – I don't know. The whole case, I don't understand.
I have a healthy hourly rate. Okay.
These are tax write-offs.
Yeah. All right. You felt pro bono to me, but that's fine. Let's see here. So, I mean, what I was going to say, you can't play football right now, but no one's playing football right now. So, carry on.
Mm. Yeah. It's very outstanding for your clients.
I guess well done.
All right, moving on here in the pile, we've got... Luke Vandermaten, the University of Iowa pitcher, was arrested for public intoxication and criminal mischief after he punched a hole in the wall at a bar. He says the bartender said he could punch the wall. No word if it was his pitching hand or not. Shaw, attorney at law, defend your client.
So the bartender said he could punch the wall, and he punched the wall, and... I don't see what the problem is to it.
He's a Division I pitcher. It went through the wall.
It was a consensual punch.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe he was going to be on the mound on Sunday morning, and the bartender said, you know, your bar tab is $250. How that's possible at a college bar, I don't know. Maybe he said, if you know, punch, break your pitching hand, and I'm going to bet against the University of Iowa team.
I also have a big issue with these public intoxication charges, and I'm really going to move to have these dropped. Because you're told your whole life you shouldn't drink alone. Then you go out.
Right.
And then they try to get you there, too.
The whole world sucks, like it, man, especially in Iowa. It's
all he was doing, grabbing a few beers. Bartender said, hey, punch the wall. He punched the wall. I don't even know why the cops had to become involved.
You know, it is a permission-granted situation, it seems to me. And, you know, going back to something else we talked about earlier in the podcast... It does seem like this is one of those places where there really is nothing else to do. So punching a wall ranks high. And, you know, to some of us, maybe not the choice of true wisdom, but that's fine. This guy's at University of Iowa. Luke, get well.
That's good. Good for my client.
Again, you're two for two.
Your Honor, I really appreciate that.
I really don't feel like he should have been in trouble for this.
He should not at all.
maybe do some drywall for the bar.
You know,
I don't
it
know.
Could have been his pitching hand. It may not have been his pitching hand. I mean, in all honesty, he would have flamed out anyway, right?
Maybe come back, repair the wall, and have the team do a calendar shoot or something.
We're not grading intelligence on this. This is like if you're really, you know, if you've done criminal activity, and I just feel like he's a fucking idiot. That's fine.
Something tells me that's like the least damage a University of Iowa student athlete has ever done while getting arrested.
Yeah.
A hole in the wall. I think that's very minor. And finally, here in the pile, Kevin Stevens, the former NHL player, obviously didn't save his cash. He was charged with conspiracy and possession with the intent to distribute oxy.
I'm going to tell you.
Is that for pimples? Is that what that is
when
for?
When Kevin first came to me, I laughed because this is not even a case. This is going to get dropped. Let me tell you some other people I know who, if you want to put labels on them, possess and with the intent to distribute. My friend, I don't know, Walgreens. I got this other pal named CVS. So, yeah, let's put Kevin Stevens on the list doing what is legal, and millions of people already do it. It is fine. Life after NHL, he wants to be a pharmacist. I have it on good authority. He is studying online, studying for his pharmacology degree. This is good.
Do we have a client list? Is one of his clients Ryan Leaf?
I really can't keep a good entrepreneur down. So
it is a legal drug.
It's what state is this in?
It's in Pennsylvania. He used to play for the Penguins.
He did play for the Pens. He played with.
With the big boys.
With Super Mario and Yager 1.0.
Yaramir Yager when he was still in his 20s. Yeah.
Yay. Well, I'm sorry, Kevin, that you've gotten into this trouble, but I
it's Massachusetts. Excuse me.
Oh. Well, he's just a masshole then. That's fine. That's also tough. You don't like that, but pardonable as well.
Well, then it's 30 years. Sorry.
Yeah. Please keep him behind bars.
If it was in Pennsylvania, he's free to go, man.
He's
congratulations.
Just an entrepreneur trying to make ends meet. So 3 for 3. Good start.
All right.
Good to go. All right.
Good.
Remember,
if you're an athlete, whether collegiate or pro or
I'm
former pro, make sure you call Attorney at Law, Kenner Shaw. Speaking of guys who used to be in the game, like sports and like in the kid game as well. It's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
This is Kenner's first game. You have the option of letting him go first, or since you're the reigning champion, you
Ooh,
go.
Reigning champ.
Well, it's the last
little,
time you
little
played.
Intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little intimidating.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. I am the Rain Man, and just like Sean Kemp, I've gotten a little more plump, so it's fine. I am reigning champ. I will go first.
He was an only child. All right, here we go. T-Sean,
yes.
Is this the name of an NBA draft lottery pick or a registered sex offender in Inglewood, California? Jonathan Bender.
Draft pick.
That is correct. Do you know where he went?
Thank you.
Or who he was drafted by?
Oh, Jonathan Bender. I'm going to go with Indiana.
Jonathan Bender was selected with the 5th pick by the Toronto Raptors in the 1999 NBA draft. I had no idea that Toronto was a team in 99. But
well, no, they came out actually on the hot heels of the Jurassic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Bender went to Picayune Memorial High School in Picayune, Mississippi. Jeez, no wonder why no one could spell down there.
Yeah.
Name your cities. Picayune. Despite having a verbal commitment to Mississippi State University, he went straight to the NBA. The Raptors then traded Bender to the Indiana Pacers for Antonio Davis.
I thought
pretty good.
Yeah.
Being hyped for his size, athleticism, and all-around skill, Bender scored 10 points in 13 minutes against Cleveland on December 10, 1999. He became the first high school draftee to score in double figures in his NBA debut. Jonathan Bender.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he's charged with conspiracy and possession with the intent to distribute.
I'm sure he will. State of Massachusetts, Jonathan. All right, good start for T'Shawn. Good start for the fabulous T'Shawn.
Thank you.
He's up 1-0. Kinner Shaw, your first ever Factor Fudge question. Is this the name of an NBA draft lottery pick or a registered sex offender in Inglewood, California?
Let's have it.
Shawn Thomas. Shawn Thomas.
Are you saying Sean Funny?
It was supposed to. I think his mom was supposed to name him Sean, but there's an extra A in there. Shawan. S-H-A-W-A-N. Shawan Thomas.
That's how my first boss.
I'm going to say.
Shawan?
Yeah.
Well, where'd you work?
This was in New York at an ad agency. She would say, Shawan! Can you come in here, please?
That sounds like it was across the river.
She's a Catholic.
From Oyster Bay, Long Island.
I'm going to say registered sex offender.
That is correct. Shawan Thomas is a 5'3", 125-pound sex offender in Inglewood, booked on lewd and lascivious acts with a child under the age of 14. Rotten hell, Shawan Thomas.
Oof.
But good call. That's good for you, Kinnershaw.
Yeah.
Probably
sometimes
the only time.
Pride in the ones you win, though.
Yeah. Probably the only time Shawan Thomas has ever been,
a good call for me.
Yeah, correct. All right. Not going to be Kenner's babysitter, but he's got him on the board. Here we go.
Take him out of your contacts.
T'Shawn, NBA draft lottery pick or registered sex offender in Inglewood, California. Sherrone Wright.
Draft pick.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Sherrone Wright was drafted by the 76ers with the 6th overall pick in the 1994 draft. He was actually a good player until a car wreck wrecked his career in the States. Then he went over and played overseas.
See, he really could have used Kevin Stevens and some of those painkillers.
Well,
Before the death, I guess.
Good thing he was in a car wreck, and not on the back
the
of Jay Williams'
Bobby
bike.
Hurley?
Was he a Memphis State?
No, he was Clemson, I think.
Clemson?
Yeah, Sherrone Clemson. Wright. Sherrone Wright.
Ah, that's after like the... What was that? Who's the Laker that came from? We move on.
Yeah. Nobody's listening anymore anyway. NBA draft lottery pick or registered sex offender in Inglewood, California, Kenner. Derek Anderson.
I'm going to go sex offender.
That is incorrect. Derek Anderson was drafted by the Cavaliers with the 13th overall pick in the 1997 NBA draft. He was actually the first casualty of the league's new luxury tax amnesty clause of the 2005 CBA.
Oh.
So there. Derek Anderson. He played for 7 different teams from 1997 to 2008, always the sign of a great player.
So not the Browns quarterback.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Derek Anderson.
That wasn't clear from the beginning.
I remember, you could always use your pullout.
No.
Each player here. All right, T'Shawn, it's a big one for you right here.
Yeah.
Trenell Johnson, sex offender or lottery pick?
Sex offender.
That is correct. T'Shawn on a roll here. Trenell Johnson lives in Inglewood and was busted attempting lewd and lascivious acts with a child under the age of 14.
That lewd and lascivious under the age of 14 seems to be the winning number tonight, huh?
That's...
Under the age of 14. If you're looking to get a Powerball ticket tonight, 14 might be the recommended number. Yeah, that's. So I wonder, congratulations. The new Factor Fudge champion or like recurring champion right. or returning Thank champion, you. Repeating champion, the Thank fabulous T'Shawn. All right, right, very good.
Thank you.
Not a bad effort, though. You got two, right? What would you have said if I would have given you Raymond Chandler.
Like the great novelist.
You're the man now, dog.
Ray Bradbury.
Raymond Chandler, I would say draft pick.
He's actually a 97-year-old sex offender in Inglewood who was arrested for lewd and lascivious acts with a child under the age of 14.
97.
But it's but
Say
they
what
never
you will about these people, but they have found the fountain of youth.
The Daily Up-a-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.